The federal government's proposed media code is attracting global attention. Media organisations around the world are watching Australia's attempt to crack down on Facebook and Google, with a proposed code which would force the tech giants to pay local publishers for the use of their content. Google has already threatened to turn off its search engine in Australia if the legislation is passed by the Senate. Watching the developments closely is David Chavin, President and CEO of the News Media Alliance, which represents more than 2,000 media organisations in the United States. Welcome, David, to RN Breakfast.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you represent major flagship publishers in the US, like Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. What feedback are you getting from your members about the Australian Code?
It's a critical turning point, not only for publishers in Australia, but for publishers around the world. We're in a historic moment, like, by the way, music was 100 years ago, or TV was with the advent of cable in the 1990s, where we have to renegotiate and develop a system for returning value back to content creators. And you've got a couple of platforms that have been disproportionately taking value from news content and starving news publishing to the detriment of civic societies everywhere. And this is a moment of real change that could have real historic impact.
Is there an appetite for similar laws in the US?
Yes, actually, we're working on that very hard. We're supporting legislation that would allow news publishers to collectively negotiate, but we've already gotten calls from members of Congress saying, did you see what's happening in Australia? Why can't we do that here?
But we're getting pushback. Monster might be the word to use. Google's launched a major campaign threatening to turn off its search engine. Are those serious threats, do you think?
I think they're counterproductive and, frankly, a little silly. News is really important to both Google and Facebook. Their biggest problems are misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. And the antidote for all those things is quality news and information. We're an answer for their problems. So they should be embracing chances to develop sustainable systems for journalism going forward rather than making pretty silly threats.
But it still could be a deterrent, and you've only got a tight balance of power in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, but there's actually a lot of bipartisan support, particularly for local publishers. People know that if you take quality news and information out of communities, that there's no way for it to survive, that communities degrade. You know, they become subsumed by misinformation and hate speech. And actually, we get a lot of support from the Republican side as well.
The consumer watchdog here in Australia has found that for every $100 of online advertising spend, $53 of that goes to Google, $28 goes to Facebook. To what extent is this just sour grapes that the forget the use of news content, that the advertising dollars are just leaking to that used to go to the newspapers?
Yeah, targeted advertising is where the market went, and targeted advertising favors the companies with the most data, and that is Google and Facebook, and news publishers are never going to have the most data. So that I don't fight about whether targeted advertising dollars should go to Google and Facebook or not. What I'm saying is, do we want to have journalism going forward into the future or not? And if we do, then the systems for delivering that and monetizing it have to return more value back to publishers.
But is that the way, particularly local journalism, we're in a crisis here in Australia. You're in a particularly, you're in a worse situation because you don't have a public broadcaster effectively. How much of a fantasy is it that even if you were to break the duopoly or allow money to go back into the more traditional media, that it will be a recipe for survival?
No, I don't think it's a fantasy at all. Again, Google and Facebook pay to license music. They play to license celebrity heights and weights. They pay to license sports content. They pay for a lot of stuff. They've just so far refused to pay for particularly local journalism. And that just has to change. And by the way, it's good for them. They need and you can benefit from the content. And it also sustains the future for news publishing. It's not a fantasy at all. There's a lot of other systems of compensation out there. It's just that we haven't had to have one in this space before, but now we do.
What do you think are the most egregious things they do?
A couple things. People talk a lot about the digital advertising ecosystem. But you know, they control it, and that's not that they have targeted ad products, but Google controls the exchanges, the delivery systems, the buy and sell platforms, and they also participate in their markets. So there are anti-competitive effects. Plus, they have disproportionate draw even from a competitive ad market. And then they all the data they collect around news and engagement, what they know, what you're reading and when, and what that how that informs their ad products. And then they benefit greatly from the engagement. Think of all the people who have gone online in the last year to look for news and information about COVID. You know, they benefit from you going to their products to look for news.
Well, they would argue that they direct people to the, you know, the New York Times website.
Where they then control most of the ad ecosystem. You know, they love to talk about traffic. And by the way, they have these unusual estimates for the value of traffic, which they determine from their sources unknown. But the fact of the matter is kind of random traffic from the internet is not particularly valuable for the reasons we discussed. They control the ads. They control the ad dollars. And the random traffic that comes through is not particularly valuable and really isn't compensation for the value they get.
Where does accurate reporting, you know, and some sort of media code come in here? We saw that to the fore, particularly with Twitter in the general election in the United States.
In terms of requirements for regulatory requirements around around news, I mean, the debate in the U.S. has been centered on what we call Section 230, which is the responsibility of the platforms for the content they provide. Our big complaint is that the platforms don't care about the quality of information they deliver. They want to deliver whatever content keeps you most engaged, and maybe that's quality news and information, or maybe it's crazy hate speech and garbage, but they don't have incentives to deliver quality information, and that's got to change everywhere.
David Chavin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
David Chavin is president and CEO of the News Media Alliance in the United States.